The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When I say the word gene editing, people think of some sort of CSI-like lab, advanced technology somehow, I don't know how, these researchers, these scientists are able to go in and take parts out and put parts in. And, well, the goal, I think, is at least they say the goal, is to improve the genome, whether they're working on bacteria or human beings. But what does that mean for our ethics in gene editing going forward? We're going to be answering that question on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Kevin Voss is our guest, director of the Concordia Center for Bioethics and associate professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He made a recent presentation at the annual meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society and the Evangelical Philosophical Society titled Playing God, Will Gene Editing Lead to Designer Children and Neo-Eugenics? Kevin, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be with you.
Just explain what it is to begin with, gene editing.
Gene editing is a fantastic science. Up till now, when they tried to treat genetic diseases, what they would do is they would try to insert a corrected piece of DNA with a virus. And unfortunately, that method has been very imprecise and has resulted in deaths, actually, from of human research subjects. Jesse Gelsinger is one that perhaps comes to mind. He was actually a young man who was treated for a genetic enzyme deficiency using a virus vector to insert this corrected DNA into a cell, and he died of an allergic reaction to this virus. So up till now, they've kind of used a hit-or-miss method. Now, the newest method, which was discovered actually occurring naturally in bacteria, is based on a CRISPR technology. CRISPR, spelled C-R-I-S-P-R, stands for Clustered Regularly Interspersed Short Palindromic Repeats. And I won't give anyone a test on that, and I tell my students that. I won't test them on that. I have a hard time remembering that myself. But CRISPR is easy to remember. It's a powerful technology. It's very precise, and it can be targeted at a certain section of the DNA, and we can edit. Now we can edit DNA just like you can edit an essay using word processing software. So you can alter both the somatic cells, or existing body cells, and germline cells, that's reproductive cells, of animals, humans, food crops. And it could save genetic engineering costs, they estimate, by 99%. And what took years may now only take a few weeks. And they can use it to prevent or treat many genetic and infectious diseases. So CRISPR right now, gene editing technology is compared to computers, the personal computers were in the 1970s, very rudimentary, amazing. People knew the amazing things that probably would be on the horizon in the 1970s when it came to the PC. And now look what we're doing with the computer. They're indispensable. And so that's how many scientists see this CRISPR gene editing technology. It'll just be a boon to do many things.
So that's kind of the hopeful view forward. And if we're talking about correcting genetic disorders, we're talking about things that medicine has only dreamt of before, and the technology, as you said, has just jumped ahead. What can they do today? What are they actually able with this technology to successfully and safely, laying aside the ethical questions for a little bit later, Dr. Voss, what can they do? What are we capable of?
Well, I can tell you what they're doing today, which right now isn't much because it's in its rudimentary stages, but then I could also, maybe if you wouldn't mind, I'll follow up with potential uses of CRISPR, not just for curing genetic diseases, but other things as well. So far, It has been used to edit the genes of yeast, zebrafish, mice, monkeys, and human cell cultures. And actually, CRISPR, this whole system, won Science Magazine's 2015 award for Breakthrough of the Year. Now, what caused the... So really, they're working on animals and other and non-animal species right now, anything with DNA, and experimenting with this gene editing technology. But now, in February 2016, in the United Kingdom, regulators, for the very first time, granted British scientists permission to use this line of research in human embryos. And that's the first time that's ever been granted by a national authority. And so that causes some concern among not just Christians, but scientists as well. But just to let you know why, to give you an idea of the kind of research that's been going on right now in CRISPR, there's a database called the Medline. It's a listing of everything to do with ethics and medicine going on right now. And I did a Medline search before my presentation last fall, just using the word CRISPR. And currently, there are 2,850 research papers published from 2002 to 2016 on CRISPR. So there's a lot of work going on regarding CRISPR. But now in the United Kingdom, they're for the first time researching embryos. Now, what are some uses, if you don't mind, I'll follow up, to end diseases, you know, not just genetic illnesses, but HIV and many viral diseases attack the human body, and the viruses actually put a piece of DNA into our body cells, and they're with us the rest of our lives, like HIV/AIDS or herpes virus, for example. With this gene editing technology, theoretically, they could remove that infection right out of our cells, so we're no longer infected with those viral virus. Malaria might be another one. Cancer is caused by defective cells that survive the normal body's detection and removal mechanisms. And so this CRISPR technology or gene editing could be used to make our immune cells better cancer hunters, to remove and detect cancer cells. And in fact, it's been used in 2016 by Chinese researchers to treat lung cancer. So that's some research that's going on right now. And then, of course, treating genetic diseases like color blindness, hemophilia, Huntington's disease. It's estimated that 3,000 genetic diseases are caused by a single incorrect gene. So this could be actually used in two ways, which we can discuss in a little bit, but to treat someone who actually has that disease right now, or it could be used to head off passing on that gene to future generations.
So we're talking about something that has the potential, if it proves true, it has the potential to revolutionize medicine. Now, what are the ethical concerns about this? Because with this, what we are capable of doing, certainly not the limits of what man will think of to do with this. You've talked about beneficial medical progress against genetically based diseases. What are some other ideas that people are having with this?
Well, group the concerns into two major areas. One is our practical scientific concerns, and then ethical concerns. There are actually some practical and scientific concerns which actually carry ethical concerns with it. But one is that if it's used to modify a reproductive tissue, let's say a person is a known carrier to Tay-Sachs, and they use this gene editing technology not to alter the body cell of that person, because that person does not have the disease, but to prevent that person from carrying on that disease in the future. That's called germline cell editing. And it could be used to modify those germline cells, and if accidentally they were to insert an incorrect gene, it could potentially affect untold future generations. And that's why scientists are more concerned with using this technology for germline cell therapy rather than somatic or body cell therapy. And in fact, talking about opposition to science, I personally am thrilled with this technology. I'm not opposed to it. I'm thrilled that they're using it to treat people you know, with these viral diseases or genetic illnesses or prevent cancer, as long as they're treating individuals. Now, when we get into germline cell therapy, you know, that's perhaps where some ethical concerns arise. There are also off-target effects that CRISPR, and usually, and this technology is called CRISPR-Cas9. Cas9 means it's the enzyme or the system that goes with CRISPR that actually is used to do the gene editing itself. And that may impact other genes. It's not 100% precise, although it's light years ahead of what we've had so far. And so it's sort of like, I think, comparing different GPS systems. You know, the GPS system we have in our car is relatively imprecise. I think it's accurate to within 10 feet or something like that, whereas the military GPS, you know, is accurate to within a foot or maybe inches. And so the CRISPR-Cas9 is much more accurate than what we had, but there still are some off-target effects there that might be a concern. And then there's also another concern is, might it be used to create from bits and pieces of DNA humans that otherwise would not exist? So theoretically, with this technology, you could use bits and pieces of DNA to design a human that really would not have existed with the normal procreation as we have it today between a one-man, one-woman genetics. And in fact, there's actually a cartoon or a video on this on YouTube where it shows the current leader of North Korea designing super soldiers using this technology. And theoretically, it could be possible. And then in that same vein, another ethical concern having to do with the technology itself is animal-human chimeras, meaning that you could theoretically take human genes and link them with animal genes and come up with a new species. And that's theoretically possible, much more possible now with this technology than what we've had before.
So you talk about neo-eugenics, and you've touched upon some of the implications or possible potential implications there for a move in that direction with this technology. The technology itself is fine and potentially beneficial, but what gives you any idea? I mean, someone's going to say, look, these are ethical researchers, these are ethical scientists and institutions. What makes you think that anybody wants to create chimera of animals and humans, or to somehow tinker with the germline cells so that we improve upon the human race, or that we try to eliminate, not for the benefit of the individual, but for the benefit of kind of the race, so to speak, some of these things? What makes you think that?
Well, as far as the animal-human chimeras are concerned, they're already doing that right now. They do it with a different method, though. They insert human stem cells, for example, into non-human animal embryos, and then they grow organs for transplantation, for example. So now we could actually do this much more precisely. And in fact, there's a concern with doing chimera research. In September 2015, the National Institutes of Health actually declared a moratorium or a stoppage on funding this kind of research because they wanted to assess the science and evaluate ethical issues. Now, this is before CRISPR hit the headlines, although they could see it on the horizon. So actually, the National Institutes of Health, which is definitely not a religious entity, it's a secular governmental entity, they decided to put a stop to this type of research. But yeah, they're actually using it right now to create, for example, heart valves, you know, growing heart valves in pigs with human genes in them so that they won't be rejected as readily if they're used to replace valves in humans now during heart surgery. So that sort of thing, you know, is going on right now. But as far as the other ethical concerns or the eugenics concerns, you know, in eugenics, probably the classic example of eugenics that we've actually seen in the real world is Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany favored reproduction of certain people and discouraged reproduction of other people. And so, for example, SS soldiers were encouraged to have more children. And in fact, they had actually places for them to go in addition to their marriage where they could go and have children. And so they also discouraged people like Jewish people, Polish people, Russian people from having children. And there's two ways to do that. One is to destroy the people themselves so they can't procreate, or the other is to somehow prevent them, you know, by, from having children by sterilizing them. And so the reason why I mentioned or thought that it might be good to think about this as potentially eugenics resurrected is that there could be discrimination potentially developed by this technology and favoring certain people from having children or certain favoring certain characteristics. For example, you could use this technology to favor a pretty child or to have a pretty child or to eliminate Down syndrome, you know, to eliminate Down syndrome from the genetic pool. Or you could be you could actually use this to on yourselves, you know, to improve so-called vanity traits, or to improve your strength and stamina, or to improve the strength and stamina of your children. In fact, there's a movement called transhumanism that actually believes through the use of science and technology will actually be able to change the human species and transition into a new species that is not recognizable as human by contemporary standards. And so we'll have a transitional species into that new species called a post-human. Could we use this technology to achieve eternal youth? It's been estimated that two-thirds of all deaths are attributed to aging. Could we eliminate the effects of aging? Lobsters, for example, appear to be immune to aging. So could we use the genes that we see in lobsters and other species that don't seem to age to perhaps eliminate the effects of aging in our population? So it sure seems like there's a potential to have what we call a Gattaca effect, if you've ever seen that movie, where society kind of devolves into those who are the genetic elites, a class of super rulers, for example, versus those who are the non-developed, or could we degenerate into the haves and the have-nots, you know, in society using this technology? The haves would be able to afford this technology and therefore move into that super elite. The have-nots who are poor could not afford this technology and probably would evolve into the kind of a poverty class, kind of a persistent poverty class. So, yeah, it seems like it has the potential, you know, for that sort of discrimination.
Dr. Kevin Voss is our guest. We're talking about gene editing on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 21st. More with him after this. He's director of the Concordia Center for Bioethics and associate professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Made a recent presentation called Playing God, Will Gene Editing Lead to Designer Children and Neo-Eugenics?
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about gene editing, some of the ethical concerns on the horizon. Dr. Kevin Voss of Concordia University, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Center for Bioethics there, is our guest. Dr. Voss, I'm wondering about safeguards. First of all, what would you recommend by way of kind of policy safeguards for this research in order to avoid some of the things you were discussing before the break? And do you see a willingness to put those safeguards in place?
Actually, I do, and I'll just tell you what recommendations I made at the Evangelical Philosophical Society meeting. But one thing I want to stress is that as Christians, we're not anti-science. In fact, there's a good case to be made that Christianity helped stimulate the invention of science. You know, the idea that we have a creator God, and that it'd be neat to learn, you know, that he's a rational God, he gives us reason, and we can study these things and actually learn things about nature. So we're not anti-science, but perhaps it would be a good idea to maybe put the brakes on this research just a bit, and that's actually what I recommended. I don't think we can stop this research. I don't think it would be right for us to even try to stop this research. The cat is out of the bag, so to speak. And I think CRISPR research could result in a lot of good for humanity. But on the other hand, like nuclear energy, and that's kind of what I compared it to in my mind, society must keep a watchful eye on this. And I think one thing it should do is it must draw a clear line of demarcation, or clear line in the concrete, so if you will, not just in the sand, but a clear line between treatment and enhancement. Treatment for disease, using this to treat for viruses or genetic diseases, versus enhancement, augmenting human capabilities. It shouldn't be used as an excuse to violate the ethical principle of justice. Justice simply means fairness, so it shouldn't be used as a type of eugenics, you know, discriminating between the haves and have-nots, or trying to get rid of a certain group of people or prevent a certain group of people from having children, you know, that are like them. And what I suggested actually is a temporary ban on this research. And in fact, I found a very nice article by a researcher by the name of Mole, that's his last name, at a college in Nairobi, Kenya. And this is what he said, quote, "We can easily get caught up in the glamour of scientific and technological advancement while at the same time oblivious to the ethical ramifications of such scientific and technological advancement. Some scientists have expressed concern that human germline editing has not only crossed the ethical red line, it's also fraught with many challenges. Due to the challenges and ethical concern raised by CRISPR-Cas9 genome editing technology, a temporary moratorium should be called on this technology to allow the scientific community and other stakeholders to engage in a broad-based discussion to map the way forward for this technology." And I think that might actually be a very wise thing to do. And in fact, at a meeting in Washington, D.C., they actually talked about that. They issued a statement. Researchers issued a statement. It's from the International Summit on Gene Editing, and they actually were concerned that there hasn't been good regulatory oversight on gene editing right now, and that the criteria haven't been met for proposed clinical use, and the safety issues haven't been explored. So I think there's a willingness perhaps to do that sort of thing, maybe call for a moratorium until the ethics catches up with the science, so to speak.
With only about 30 seconds, so tell us a little bit about the Concordia Center for Bioethics.
Oh, the Concordia Center for Bioethics is a Christian Academic Center that applies God's Word to issues involving biology and healthcare through teaching, service, and research. One thing I want to call your listeners' attention to is the Graduate Certificate in Bioethics, which was developed by the Center for Bioethics and our Departments of Theology and Philosophy, and it's useful for those who face ethical questions that arise, especially in the healthcare setting, but this certainly would be helpful for pastors as well. And the program consists of 5 courses, and it's flexible, offered online, and is self-paced. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to check our website at cuw.edu/bioethics. That's our website. Or send me an email, kevin.voss@cuw.edu.
You'll also find a link to Concordia Center for Bioethics under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Kevin Voss made a recent presentation at the annual meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society and the Evangelical Philosophical Society titled Playing God, Will Gene Editing Lead to Designer Children and Neo-Eugenics? Dr. Voss, keep up the good work, and thank you very much.
Thanks. Let me know if I can help in the future.
On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's a native of Germany and a former religion editor for United Press International. We're going to talk about that Berlin Christmas market attack. There's news out, and it does have something to do with the fact that there is, in both Northern Africa and elsewhere in the world, there is a threat. The person found responsible for the attack turns out to be kind of a typical suspect. We'll talk about that with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus and the Samaritan Woman in John chapter 4, with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.